Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters. I'm joined by Dan and Harry.
Hello. Hello.
And today, we're not going to be talking about women. We're going to be talking about the day the regime
That's right, Connor's not in today.
The radical conservatives and the barbarian world, which are all going to be jolly good fun, I'm sure. Ha 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 ha. We're going to try and make things fun, but we realized when we sat down that none of these are that.
I think looking at this panel, there's a
chance. Yes.
Ample chance of jovial.
Well, I know my segment isn't funny, but maybe by the time we get to yours, the humour will be there.
What if
well,
we try and make it funny?
Yes, why not?
Well, it's the like laugh or cry thing. So we'll have to laugh or else we'll all be in tears.
Yes. Yes, we give it a go. Right. So Friday was not a particularly good day for the regime. It didn't start well. It started with this, and I think we did a segment on it on Friday. So George Galloway, the old Scottish firebrand, he got elected for something like the fifth time. I mean, I'm losing count at this point, but he got elected for the fifth time with a Muslim vote of Rochdale, and he secured a pretty thumping win. He got something like 12,500 votes, getting him a 6,000 majority. Now, 6,000 majority back in the day would have been considered a marginal seat, but these days nobody can be bothered to vote because nobody believes in the political system anymore. So actually 6,000 votes is a pretty thumping majority for this stage in the game. Anyway, so he wins. The regime doesn't like that. By lunchtime they'd moved on to this guy, Sam Mlayar, apparently a far right activist who was jailed for some far right stickers. Very serious case, this one. So Judge Tom Bayliss said the publication of this kind of material is corrosive to our society. The stickers contained, and note this carefully because I will be showing you the stickers in a moment, these stickers contained ethnic slurs about minority communities which displayed a deep-seated antipathy to these groups. So bear that in mind when you actually see them.
Are we trying to guess the slurs?
Well,
leave yours down in the comments below. What slurs would you like to see next week?
Don't do that. They will be deleted.
That's funny. Would you like to see us only on Odyssey? Shall I get Harry to guess some slurs?
No.
Well, I can think of a few.
Let's stop there. Anyway, so Judge Bayliss said, for the first time since the 1930s, a real risk of gross, potentially violent anti-Semitism is being normalised on our streets. It has been used before to tear at the heart of Western democracy. It must not be allowed to do so again.
So this guy's been organising the Palestine protests as well as the stickers. That's pretty powerful.
No, this guy's
well,
just
like George Galloway, he was playing both sides, I assume.
Well, he's not?
No. No, he just, and I will show you in the stickers in just a moment, but it's very interesting what the judge said, that, you know, he's harking back directly to 1930s. So basically the argument is that this guy, for these stickers, needs to go to
was
jail.
Was this guy like reposting on the stickers the full list of Nuremberg laws, 1935 or something?
Well, I will show you them, but basically the judge's argument is this guy needs to go to jail, otherwise Germany's going to invade Poland again.
They've been plotting for decades, we all know.
Yeah.
First, the stickering began. I said nothing because I didn't care.
The judge said, I am quite sure that your mindset is that of a racist and a white supremacist. You hold Nazi sympathies and you are an anti-Semite. So,
was he imprisoned for the stickers or for the mindset behind the stickers?
No, the stickers were declared legal.
So it was the mindset.
And the messages on the stickers were also considered legal.
And what did these messages include, or are we going to see some of
that?
Did those messages actually include anything anti-Semitic?
We will see them.
All right.
We'll see how bad they are. But this is the judge. That's the guy who thinks that you need to be in jail if you think something that he doesn't approve of. And like I say, it is thinking something.
People listening, we should explain. That's him outside the Nelson Mandela statue, I presume in South Africa.
Yes.
So Nelson Mandela, he was that terrorist, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, the guy who belonged to that group that blew up a grandmother and a grandchild at a train station with a phosphorus bomb.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
are they the ones currently singing Kill the Boer? Is that some other radical communist
I think that's a sub-offshoot of that group.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, you know how terrorist groups are. They go silent.
I've read articles about Mandela where it talks about that whole thing and tries to brush over it. And they're like, oh, well, the party doesn't actually condone this sort of thing. Although Mandela and his wife both said that they wouldn't not condone it.
His wife has very good necklaces, I hear. So anyway, so this is a picture of Sam. So he was noted by the judge as being an upstanding member of his community, a good man and a good father, law-abiding taxpayer. There's Sam with his young child. He now will be in jail for the birth of his second child because of things that he thinks. So these stickers are going to be pretty awful, you've got to agree. There we go.
That's not that bad.
Is this all of the stickers?
Yes.
I was
reading out the quotes. Reject white guilt. It's okay to be white. We will be a minority on our homeland by 2066.
That's ONS projections, isn't it?
White yep. lives matter. Stop anti-white rape gangs. Love your nation. I'm noting a distinct lack of ethnic slurs.
Well, yes. Well, the judge did say ethnic slurs, didn't he? But that doesn't seem to be on the list. So basically, the judge is saying that if you believe any of the following, let's just reframe these. If you're white and you're not guilty about it, if you think it's okay to be white, if you agree with the ONS, if you think white lives matter, if you want to stop rape gangs, and if you love your nation, then you belong in jail.
2 years.
2 years.
2 years prison.
Yes. And I would only say to the audience that if you feel a deep sense of despair at this, an utter sense of betrayal and dejection, just understand that your nation has been stolen and run by criminals and they have successfully achieved their goals, because that's exactly what they want you to think when you see this. So, yeah. Go ahead.
What is there to say, frankly? I mean, I'm sorry, but the British regime will put you in prison for saying it's okay to be white.
Yes.
For 2 years.
Yes. And I will just remind you again that all of these were deemed truthful and lawful. But we have to stop Germany from invading Poland again. And things that
you've got to go to prison for.
That's the issue with these.
You're ruining your life. Your life's got to be ruined. No one else's. Yeah. No one else who actually commits crime or anything.
Oh, the judge also admitted that no hate crimes were committed as a result of this.
Right. So what this is a political jailing. I mean, yes. Frankly, this is how this should be considered. A political activist who is advocating for civil rights, it's okay to be white, that statement there. That's a civil rights phrase. He is going to jail for advocating for civil rights for white people. Because in this country, you can be discriminated against and have been if you tried to work for many government departments, never mind the private sector. If you went for the intelligence services, you would be rejected on the basis of your skin color.
If you try and join the BBC, they've got lots of programs that only accept minority applicants.
And he, in his activism there, is saying it's okay to be white, and he gets 2 years in prison.
Yep, and as it says on the screen right here, the reason why was because he wanted the sentencing to act as a deterrent to other people. So this is the actions of an occupying force, as we say, the regime. This is the actions of a hostile regime, which is hostile to the native people. You've got to put up with being an occupied territory, because otherwise there's the worry that an occupation might come in that would actually care about the native people of this land. And we can't be having that.
Well, we're quite right. And as it acts as a deterrent to other people, but he was jailed for his beliefs. So it's to act as a deterrent for people believing the same thing.
The belief being it's okay to be white.
Quite extraordinary. I mean, I did a tweet about this, and before anyone comments, yes, the framing is deliberate. There's a certain framing you can use to get traction amongst the boomer cons, because I wanted this to have as much traction as possible. But I pointed out that you've got these guys on the left here driving around London shouting, F the Jews, F their mothers, rape their daughters, and these guys received 0 days in jail. And actually, there were plenty of other examples you could have used. I mean, there was a guy just the other day who raped a 12-year-old and was basically let off 0 days jail.
Yeah, he was part of the guy on the right, larger group or something.
He thought the wrong things. He agreed with the ONS and other heinous crimes. And on that basis, he was jailed for 2 years and is now going to miss the birth of his second child. Let's go back to the... Yes, so this one, I framed it that way to sort of get maximum views, and that's had almost 1 million views at this point, and even Elon responded to that one. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's got a little bit of traction and we can have some justice for Sam coming up. That would be nice.
Does he have the chance to appeal?
I don't know. I don't know the details of it, actually.
Yeah, if there's anyone fundraising for any appeals process or anything, if he can get legal representation.
I think his wife Laura Towler or something like that is fundraising. So I mean, I'm sure you can find that if you wanted to contribute to that. But anyway, the point is that a strong regime does not act like this. you know, a strong regime wouldn't even have to respond to this. There'd be no need to it. So they're acting fearfully and panicky. At which point, Rishi Sunak enters the chat. He came out and said that he was going to give a 5 p.m. podium conference outside of Downing Street. Now, that was interesting because the podium is normally only ever brought out for one or two reasons. One, the Prime Minister is resigning, and two, he's calling a general election. And he actually came out to say this in response to the events of the day.
Modern country we are.
Let me just
both
rewind
want to set Britain.
That. Sorry. Okay, let's listen to
Islamist extremists and the far right feed off and embolden each other. They are equally desperate to pretend that their violence is somehow justified, when actually these groups are two sides of the same extremist coin. Neither group accept that change in our country can only come through the peaceful democratic process. Both.
So a quick point on that. He says that change can only come as part of the democratic process.
He cooed the government.
Well, there is...
The man speaking cooed the elected government.
Well, there is that, but also the group that this Sam guy is a member of, I think it's Patriotic Alternative, they've actually applied to become a political party six times and have been rejected every single time. Mm-hmm. So here's...
It's worth pointing out as well that he's saying that there was some kind of violence involved in this where there was none. None whatsoever.
Well, no, he was talking about the other side of the coin, which he's decided to lump together. With
but, yeah, once again, by lumping together, he's implying to the normies at home who don't pay attention or read anything past the headlines that there was some kind of violence involved in this when it was violent stickers.
Exactly right. But the whole framing of you're only allowed to protest through the ballot box, but we're not going to let anyone into the ballot box who we don't approve of. So basically he's saying, you're an extremist if you're left wing and you don't vote for Labour, or you're right wing and you don't vote for the Tories. In all other circumstances, you're an extremist. Let's listen a bit more of this drivel.
Loathe the pluralist modern country we are. Both want to set Britain against Britain, to weaponise the evils of anti-Semitism and anti-Muslim hatred for their own ends. The faith of Islam, peacefully practiced by millions of our fellow citizens, is emphatically not the same thing as the extremist political ideology of Islamism, which aims to separate Muslims from the rest of society.
However, if you think that white lives matter, then you're exactly the same as Mustache Man in the 1930s. So he delineates on the Muslim side, but of course, you know, the far right is the real problem.
Islamist extremists and far right groups are spreading a poison. That poison is extremism. It aims to drain us of our confidence in ourselves as a people and in our shared future. They want us to doubt ourselves, to doubt each other, to doubt our country's history and achievements. They want us to accept a moral equivalence between Britain and some of the most despicable regimes in the world. They want us to believe that our country and the West more generally is solely responsible for the world's ills, and that we...
Yes, and I'm sure bombing everywhere has had no impact on any of this.
We, along with our allies, are the problem. In short, they want to destroy our confidence and hope. We must not allow that to happen. When these groups claim that Britain is and has been on the wrong side of history, we should reject it and reject it again.
Again, this is a rejection, speaking of rejections, of the wishes and concerns of the vast majority of the native population of this country. It's a weak and pathetic move. Like you mentioned, it's panicky.
Yep.
This is the actions of people who know that they're not really in charge, that know that they don't really have much time left in power. So they're going to come out and try to, what, appeal to the nation? Appeal to the nation by insulting normal people.
Yeah, I mean, basically, he's insulting everybody who believes those. And there was nothing on that list that was objectionable.
Let's be clear about this, because the inclusion of the far right here in his speech is not really relevant. This was a decision made at last minute. You may remember Joe Biden did something similar a while back.
Yep.
In which he just threw in the far right as part of the people celebrating
October
the 7th. It was like, what? I mean, the far right in the UK, even if we want to be as broad as these guys are, which, you know, their version of far right includes most of the country, the political power the far right has, or the actions it's taken, are pretty impotent compared to the power possessed by every other group. Even the Islamist guys in London right now contain more power. So he wanted to make a speech about Islamist extremists. And because it's You can't, I repeat, you can't just stand there and say that maybe Islamist extremists are extreme. He had to throw in the far right there. Because none of the points
exactly
he
right.
had anything to do with what you could even call the far right. The idea that the far right think that we've been on the wrong side of history throughout all of our existence. I mean, what?
Mm.
No. The far right think we've just buggered up since 97. Which
pretty much.
And also the far right, as he's categorizing it right there, would not exist had they not been importing these Islamist extremists into the country against the will of the people for decades at this point. We were never asked. It's a very powerful statement. Because it's true. We were never asked for any of this. We were never asked if we wanted Rishi. The party members of the Tories were asked if they wanted Rishi. And emphatically, they said, no, bugger off somewhere else.
And he got imposed on us anyway.
Rishi, you didn't even want to be here until it was politically convenient for you. You were about to move to America.
Now, he didn't say it in this particular clip, but it's a longer speech. And he goes on to say that they're going to be creating a task force. What is basically what we used to call a secret police. That's what a task force is. To go after two groups, Islamic extremists, and by that he means people who are a threat to MPs in Westminster, because apparently MPs are now getting bodyguards because of the sort of Islamic marches that's going on outside them.
I think that's, £39 million, if not more than that. I covered it last week.
Yep, probably right. And he's all, and this task force, or this secret police, as they should probably be called, is also going to go after right-wing extremists, who are, of course, the people who will point out to you that this task force will not lift a finger to protect anybody else apart from the regime.
And again, the primary focus will likely be on those far-right extremists, because while the Islamic extremists pose a physical threat, the actual native people of this country who care about their history, who care about the future of this country, are the ones who pose a political threat.
Well, they'd be given a mandate to go after both, because one of those groups barely exists at all. They will have to widen the definition until it includes, you know, basically everybody with a right of centre view. I did like Burnside. He's a brilliant poster. He came back with this meme. You guys are probably too young to know this one. But we asked 100 people which group represents the biggest threat to Britain, and you answered the far right. Is up there, I'll give you my money myself. So if you
name the group. I mean, sincerely, if you actually sat and thought about the far right group that is threatening England, there is no English Liberation Army. It's not a thing. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, quite. Now, I won't go into it here because I haven't got time, but on my Twitter, I did a thread explaining basically why all of this is happening, and that thread's doing quite well. So go and look at KingBingo_, and there's a whole thread. It's my pinned post that will break down exactly what's happening here, but I haven't got time to go into that now.
There are two King Bingos. One is a crypto scanner, so make sure you go for the correct one.
Yeah, well, the other one's more likely to follow you, so, you know, choose wisely. Yes. So anyway, so... George Galloway then responds to Twitty, Rishi's whatever his name is,
Twitty, you know,
the Indian midget who's the regional manager for Britain at the moment.
Sincerely, can we just take a moment to appreciate how illegitimate that man is?
Oh yeah, he's the regional manager of England that nobody asked for.
And as an effect, that speech. I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed it, but most people took it as, "Oh, bugger off." Not the context of the speech. The content of the speech wasn't even that interesting.
Yeah.
It was just, who cares about what you think?
Exactly. Well, George Galloway has a good comeback to this, which is, well, yeah, but I was elected and you weren't. Let's listen to this.
A lot of people have just watched what the Prime Minister said. This is your opportunity to respond to what he said.
Well,
he says that there are forces here at home trying to tear us apart. He is implying you are a divisive figure.
Well,
you have run an election campaign that has tried to appeal, particularly,
one
section of the community.
Who won the election? Me or Rishi Sunak? I've got the democratic mandate here, not Rishi Sunak. He didn't even come second. He was lucky to come third. So don't put to me statements made by Rishi Sunak as if I'm supposed to be impressed by them. He don't impress me much.
We at Sky have spent some time today on the streets of Rochdale, and there are people who say that they feel intimidated by people like you and the people that have supported you.
They have pointed out
that you have concentrated your campaign on foreign affairs, and they worry that Rochdale will not...
I have a mandate. That's my answer to you. I was just elected with a thumping majority by the electorate in Rochdale. That's all that matters to me.
So why are there people on the streets of Rochdale today worried?
Well, people voted yesterday, and they voted for me. Why is that difficult for you to grasp?
Why are there people on the streets worried?
There may be people who didn't vote for me.
Just note that Sky News will never, ever do a segment where people are worried about immigration.
Of course, also note here, this is actually a fantastic visual representation of the difference between somebody like Galloway and Sunak. As much as I would disagree with the personal politics of somebody like Galloway, he does represent a sort of figurehead for the people around him, because you can see organically people are gathering around him. And if you play the rest of the clip, you'll see that he has the charisma to get people to laugh and agree with him on the fly. Rishi Sunak has to go around with a police escort wherever he goes, because he is that unpopular.
I don't agree with Galloway on much, but yeah, he has presence. I mean, he's actually a politician.
Me, who are worried. But the majority, the thumping majority, voted for me. I've got the mandate. And I'm going to the House of Commons with it.
And it's a mandate, you think, to do what? Because there are people that listen to what you say, what you say about whether or not Israel has a right to exist, what you say about what many Jewish people think are threatening slogans.
We had this conversation last night. Why are you reheating it?
Because in the light of the Prime Minister's
statement... Don't keep telling me about the Prime Minister as if he was Moses.
Do you not respect the Prime Minister?
Do I respect the Prime Minister? I despise the Prime Minister. And guess what? Guess what? Millions and millions and millions of people in this country despise the Prime Minister. I don't.
Quite right.
And once again, he's got a crowd gathering around him, naturally, all agreeing with him, because he's saying exactly what all of them think. Once again, whether or not he's a socialist or an Islamist, he's saying what we're all thinking. And the fact that he has the balls to go on Sky News and just signal to everybody, I am not part of their crowd, is something that we've all been crying out for.
Well, and the framing coming from Sky News, which is, you know, the Prime Minister has said this, why aren't you being deferential to it?
Because he's an illegitimate dwarf and I don't care.
Well, exactly right. I mean, another poster posted this meme, which I think is exactly right. Rishi Sunak's political compass. He's up there in the far left, authoritarian left, and
love and hope.
Everybody else is far right. I mean, he's basically now just calling most of the people who can't be bothered to vote Tory anymore as far right. Anyone with a slightly left of centre view, and then that judge, which we showed you earlier on, will happily put you in jail for it. You know, it's a panicked uni party. You're allowed to vote for Lib Lab Con. If you want to protest, you know, maybe you can write a letter to the Telegraph or the Guardian. Otherwise, that's it.
I think it's important to point out as well that left and right doesn't really mean anything in our current political order anymore. Because really what you're asking for is globalism versus some form of nationalism, localism, anti-globalism, whatever you want to call it. Because even within a nationalist system, you could still have a left or a right. I don't know anything about this Sam guy's personal politics if it comes to economic matters, if it comes to welfare state or anything like that. But I do know that he cares about his native people, his local area, and that's enough to mark him out as an enemy.
Yeah, I think that is the distinction. It's the distinction between the globalists and the nationalists, and that's why I look at somebody like George Galloway, and I disagree with him, but at least he is a fellow nationalist.
He also did
he's for the Nation of Islam rather than us.
I don't know, he did mog Humza Yousaf in quite a beautiful way as well by posting his big blue eyes saying, you're not a Celt like me, Humza, which was pretty based, I'm not going to lie.
Apostolic Majesty sums it up perfectly with this, where he says the sole purpose of the Conservative Party is to ensure that the right cannot exist in Britain. That is the function of the Conservative Party, to make sure that there is no right-wing party. They're just body-blocking a genuine right-wing party. It's all they have ever done. They were turned into an explicitly Blairite party under Cameron, and it's what they are. So. I also just want to pull apart the equivocation between the sort of right-wing extremists, and of course there's no mention of left-wing extremists. But there is a really fundamental difference.
Would Islamist extremists count as that? Because once again, they're not left-wing
They kind of gravitate to it, but there is a fundamental difference, is that if you are left-wing or if you are Islamic, you are allowed to organize yourselves. If you are right-wing and you attempt any sort of organization, you will immediately get arrested. And that is
just saying it's okay to be white. 2 years in jail?
Yes.
Why? You put up some stickers?
Yes.
Oh, no, because when you were putting up those stickers, you were thinking to yourselves, yes, I will kill the Islamists somehow.
But it is a fundamental power imbalance. The left and the Islamics can organize, and the right cannot organize without getting arrested. They cannot form a political party. They can't do anything. And this is apparently supposed to stop us or stop Germany from invading Poland again. Now, you've done some work on this, Harry. Is it the case that 1920s Germany was a land of milk and honey and everything was right, and then one day, for no reason at all, a bad man came along?
Well, in the mid 1920s, from about 1924 to 1929, there was what was called the Golden Twenties, the Golden 5-year period of Weimar Germany, which didn't really last long. It was artificially held up by a change in the currency after hyperinflation and ended at the onset of the Great Depression. But even during that time, they were experiencing some very unfavorable conditions. Birth rates were dropping by 1931. They had the lowest birth rate in all of Europe. Yeah. The government was filled with communists. The Social Democrats who were in charge were a Marxist party, and they were trying to liberalize. They wanted to get rid of all censorship, which meant even just local censorship saying, please don't advertise pornography here. Berlin was filled with pornography. Theater performances, where the theater performance was literally watch people get naked on stage, etc. Child prostitution was a huge problem throughout throughout Berlin and other parts of Germany. Basically, everyone was in rough sorts. But even then, they had a different situation to us, primarily because, yes, there were Marxists in charge, but due to the political situation that came out of the First World War, you still had a conservative old guard who held a decent amount of political power. You still had people like Hindenburg in places of power, mainly because communist revolutionaries led by people like Rosa Luxemburg had attempted to start a Bolshevik revolution in 1918, 1919, and the Social Democrats, to maintain power, had to ally themselves with the Freikorps and the conservative factions of the German military to put those revolutions down. They took over Bavaria. Karl Eisner, was that his name, Callum? You probably know. Karl or Kurt Eisner was a communist revolutionary who actually did manage to get a successful revolution going in Bavaria. The Freikorps put it down after a few months. Obviously, Luxembourg and Karl Liebknecht also had a communist revolution attempted in Berlin. They got put down by the Freikorps. So there was different situation down there, which was the conservative factions.
You sound quite well read on this. Maybe you should do a premium stream on it at some point.
I will be doing a video on it soon enough. I've got a script written. It's just going through. Hopefully we'll be going through an editing process soon when somebody gets around to bloody looking through it.
But I think the sort of general point is, if you keep running your society in a way that is utterly antithetical to the way of decent living for the majority of population, eventually a backlash will come, and that backlash not care where it goes because it is so angry.
Let's just put it like this. There were parts of the population in Germany at the time who were the natives, who were basically on starvation wages, unable to make a decent living, having to literally prostitute themselves and their entire families to foreigners after they'd already lost a humiliating war where the Allied powers had decided that we're going to destroy your economy on purpose and manufacturing power. And there were other, shall we say, foreign parts of the economy who were living it up and basically in power, the Marxists, the Social Democrats.
And this would be my message to, you know, Judge Bayliss or whatever his name is if you think you can break the cycle of history by repeating all of the mistakes that were made in the run-up to the last time, then it's just going to backfire on you dramatically.
What happened was the National Socialists were basically a banned party, especially in Berlin for a time, and it was when they got unbanned and following the Great Depression that all of a sudden they shot up from barely even a party that anybody knew about outside of Berlin and maybe some parts of the country to all of a sudden shooting past every other party in the Reichstag.
Because it had got to the point where people were so angry. But, you know, they're just repeating the same mistakes all over again. On the Islamic front, this is a question that I put on this Brokenomics to Robert Spencer. Let's have a quick look at his response to me when I asked him this question about why are politicians behaving like this?
Why is it that Western governments and European governments are just so completely out of line on this? Well, it does have to do with the immigration issue and the fact that now there's a substantial population of Muslims in Britain, as well as in France and Germany and Italy and Sweden and so on. And they are afraid. The British government right now is afraid of the Muslim population. And this is very clear from all kinds of things. Not only is there the banning of me and other people who are critics of jihad and Sharia, but there's also very recently all the demonstrations and the pro-Hamas demonstrators. They are climbing up on statues of revered figures of English history and putting the keffiyeh on them or putting Palestinian flags in their hands, and the police do nothing.
So this is Robert Spencer, a major scholar of the process of jihad, who's tried to warn this British government for years, and for his troubles, he got banned from entering the country. Just before we came on air, we saw an announcement that the British government is going to be banning Islamic hate preachers from entering the country 10 years after they banned people like him, people like Lawrence Others and others who tried to make exactly the point that those people made 10 years ago. Now they're doing this. And the thing is, Robert is exactly right. The British government has imported millions of people with incompatible views, and the British government is afraid, and they have no idea what to do. So they're going to do the only thing that they know how to do, which is go after anyone with vaguely right of centre views, because they know how to do that, and the real problem scares them too much. Where we are.
All right, well, let's move on.
All right, yeah. I think this will move on quite smoothly because I wanted to talk about the radical conservatives. And this isn't saying that the conservatives are radically right-wing in any way. I think anybody with a functioning brain should be able to notice that these are the most radical left-wing party that has ever been in power in the entire country, in the history of the country. Clement Attlee and other times when the Labour, at their most socialistic, when they were in power, were nowhere near as left-wing as the Conservatives have been since around 2010, at least in terms of their social policy. And it's quite summed up by this recent post that they put out on their Twitter, which was reposting this video from the from Parliament, where Rishi Sunak was giving the credentials for the Conservatives being the most woke party.
Oh, so these are all the things that make the Tory party great, are they?
Yeah, well, let's hear him say it himself, eh?
Mr. Speaker, in our party, we have a proud tradition of diversity and accepting everyone from every background. Indeed, it is a proud record that puts Labour to shame, Mr. Speaker. This is the party that delivered the first Jewish Prime Minister, the first female Prime Minister, the first Black Chancellor, the first Muslim Home Secretary, and now led by the first British Asian Prime Minister. While it seems he can only champion men from North London, it's the Conservatives that represent modern Britain.
Right, so the thing that actually matters is your immutable characteristics.
Yes, that's right. Rishi Sunak, Mr. Diversity Built Britain on the 50p coin with his big stupid face smiling out at you, decides that what actually matters in this country is not the well-being of the people, it's how diverse it is, because, of course, that's our strength. That's what built it. Interestingly enough, I was watching a short documentary yesterday, which was on television, about rebuilding Britain after the end of the Second World War, that was using archival footage in colour from the 1940s and 1950s of people tearing down bombed-out buildings and rebuilding them there. And despite the fact that the footage was in colour, do you know what I didn't see a lot of? In fact, none whatsoever.
Windrush.
Windrush. I didn't see a lot of colour on the screen.
They came after it was rebuilt. The country was basically rebuilt 2 years after the end of the war.
And let's just note that this is where we are with modern politics, that Prime Minister's Questions is now the Tory Prime Minister and the Labour leader of the Labour Party trying to score Marxist brownie points off each other.
Yeah, this was in response to Keir Starmer talking about how Marxist and woke their party is, and that it's a dick measuring contest over who can betray the British people the most and ignore their concerns, ignore their desires. We had the first Jewish Prime Minister, first female Prime Minister, first Black Chancellor, first... Okay, that's all fantastic.
We're the real intersectionals, not you.
Did any of them do anything good for the British people? I'm sure with Disraeli and Thatcher, you may be able to point to things, but
weirdly enough, they're not good prime ministers because they advocated for Jewish or female interests.
Yes.
It's because they increase the quality of life.
Well, with Disraeli, the least interesting thing about him was that he was Jewish. I mean, but that that is the only thing that modern Tories can point to as a good point for him.
No, of course. But once again, what I'm not seeing here is any concern for us, the well-being of the nation. It, like you say, it's pointing out, don't worry, we're the most intersectional. And this is the point of the Conservatives now, is to be as leftist as possible, be as progressive as possible, be as Marxist as possible, and to betray the country as much as possible, wearing a respectable veneer of conservatism as they're doing it. By doing it in a mild-mannered fashion, the Conservatives are hoping to slip through everything that people voted against when Labour said we would do this and people said we don't want that. Even their own party members get to make votes that then get ignored later, as is the reason we have Rishi in the first place. And even when I say a respectable veneer of conservatism, you've got bellends like this.
Fabricant.
Sat right here. Yes, for those not watching right now and only listening, no. I'm highlighting Michael Fabricant and his ridiculous wig.
If you don't know who he is, he's the Lidl version of Boris Johnson.
Yeah, they can't even wear the respectable face of British pomp anymore, because they honestly, you've got an Indian midget supposedly running the country. Everybody can see through the facade that you've put up. And for anybody who wants to know how bad the country gets and how bad the country has gotten, you could probably check out Dan's Brokenomics, because you've covered things like this. 2023 in review. You can see Demon Rishi Sunak right there being engulfed by the flames of hell. And then you can also watch things like Josh's most recent contemplations, where he spoke with Connor about how politicians try to manipulate you. And that's what I wanted to highlight with this, because this segment is mainly going to be looking and dwelling on a particular thread, which is going to be pointing out everything that the Conservatives have done, which is just what Labour said that they were going to do a few months ago. And people said, God, no, we don't want that. And then the Conservatives go, well, if it's the exact opposite of what the British people want, that must mean that we should do it. That seems to be the overriding goal of them, is to take what the people want and do the exact opposite of it, much to their own detriment, because I think we're aiming for zero seats, as AA has been harping on over the weekend. Zero seats.
Yeah, a quick intervention here, right? When the Tories lose the next election and they're on life support, I don't want to see any of our audience rushing over to try and defibrillate them. Let them die.
Yeah, don't try and infiltrate them. Yeah. Oh, they're weak. We can finally take out. No, the Conservatives will do as the Conservatives have always done, which is betray the people.
They exist purely to body block the emergence of a genuine right-wing party. When they are down, kick them some more. Don't let them come back.
Yeah, and the thread that I wanted to dwell on is actually almost a year old at this point. It's from last May. It's by somebody who I'm a mutual with called Thunder Chunky, who's a very good poster. His threads don't normally get this much attention, but I think Carl shared it out a few weeks ago and a lot of people took a look at it. So this is actually already slightly out of date, so I can actually provide a few updates to some of the things that he highlights here. But he's just all of the examples that you can think of how the Tory party is a left-wing party. And trust me, there is a lot. It goes on forever. It's endless. For those not watching, once again, I'm scrolling down and down and down, and it just keeps going. Look, there's Carl even, and then I hit show more, and it keeps going down and down.
It's like 20,000 leagues under the sea, but in tweet.
It really is. I'm just taking a 5-minute break here so I can scroll back up to the top. We're almost there, ladies and gentlemen. So let's go through a few of the examples, shall we? Because it's basically just going, here's a headline of Labour saying what they were going to do that everybody said no. And here's a headline of the Conservatives going, great idea, lads, let's do it. But first, here's the photographs of everybody's favourite Rishi Sunak, gay town, 10 Downing Street with the rainbow flags outside of it and rainbow. What even is this? Dan, you're old. What is this?
Door.
No, I know the door. I mean this archway. Have they covered it in string? Rainbow string. And there's Boris Johnson, saviour of the British race. Boris Johnson. Churchill's lasting legacy right there. Boris Johnson again at some kind of pride parade, probably his wife hiding somewhere in that crowd. And do we need to say anything? For those not watching, please watch just right now, because I don't think there's anything else I can say about this particular image. But let's go through a bit of this. So the first one, we're going to be comparing it mainly to Jeremy Corbyn's Labour, who were, of course, the greatest threat to British sovereignty we've ever faced, because he was an insane socialist, which he was, who wanted to do insane globalist socialist things.
To be fair, he wasn't so much of a globalist. He was definitely a socialist. I'm not necessarily sure I'd slur him.
Well, he still wanted to implement a lot of intersectional policies.
Yeah.
With the country. So no arbitrary target on immigration back in 2019 in the lead up to that election. Of course, Boris Johnson did not include a target on migration because who cares? They liberalized the migration laws under Boris Johnson after we got Brexit done. Finally, he says, finally, we can get more Somalis milling about at train stations. Yes. This is what the British economy was for.
Yes, Boris Johnson interpreted the Brexit vote as people
more
saying,
global Britain.
Fewer Romanians, please, but sky's the limit when it comes to Somalians.
Yes, those Bamalis are really adding to GDP per capita.
Yeah.
Next one. When Labour released a manifesto, they make pledges which render them a party most people don't vote for. So the Tories say, we won't do that, and then do it. Labour's Ed Miliband pledges to boost NHS spending back in 2014. Boris Johnson, of course, in the lead up to COVID, shines £34 billion for the NHS spending with a nice graph to show this. We've shown all of this all before, but it's nice to just have a nice archive of the whole thing. Here are the many ways in which the Tories have consistently betrayed you.
So in real terms, the Conservative Party are the party of mass immigration, endlessly burning money at the NHS. Where else are we going?
Tony Blair, 2004, Gender Recognition Act, one of the most radical pieces of legislation probably ever put into law at that point, because it was enshrining a form of gender expression that some would question the legitimacy of, and this was back in 2004, before this was even really a topic most were aware of. And what do the Tories do? They make it even easier. They amend it to make it even more liberal, to make it even more leftist. And this is a Guardian article as well. The Guardian, being the part of the paper that is the socialist, massively left-wing paper of Britain, saying, the Tories are on the right side of the transgender debate. Do you feel represented yet?
It's remarkable, now you think about it, but actually the Conservative Party today is well to the left of where the Guardian newspaper was 10 years ago. Probably even 5 years ago.
Probably. Then we've got even more money being spent. Corbyn needs to raise £83 billion in taxes to fund more radical spending plans. What do the Conservatives do after we say we don't want higher taxes, please? Well, we'll need extra taxes, thank you very much. We'll be sneaking into your pocketbook. Oh, and here's one of your favourite things, Dan, the ever-increasing money supply leading to inflation, which I've been told by mainstream economists that money supply has very little to do with inflation.
Yeah, Connor keeps asking me to do a Brokenomics on why should young people even bother working, and I'm struggling a bit because of things like this. I'm hoping to find something at some point.
Yes, because we've got to remember, as he points out here, we've printed, since about 2020, half of all of the money in circulation in British pounds. That's just how much money we've added into the economy, which is going to devalue the money that you already have.
So, as many
have pointed out, if for instance, you have a mortgage, which is on a fixed rate already, so you don't have to worry about interest rates increasing or decreasing, then this is fantastic because you get more money coming into your pocket and your mortgage is suddenly worth a lot less, so it's easier to pay it off.
But it's just decreasing the value of the money itself. And that's really what's happening here. And I did that on that thread that I mentioned in the last segment, that the returns going to people who hold assets and the returns going to people who hold wages are just dividing ever more sharply. It's getting a bigger and bigger gap. So if you hold assets, you're doing extremely well at the moment. If you earn a wage, you're getting shit on.
Yeah. And then we've got from 2018, the Green Party. So not Labour, the Green Party, who... And what's really the difference between the two, right? Calling on ban for gas and oil boilers in new homes by 2030, I think they wanted, for the net zero. But don't worry, The Conservatives, being progressivism going the speed limit, are saying, we'll do the net zero, we'll ban all of this stuff, but by 2050, we need a little bit extra time so that we can socially engineer the population into accepting such a thing. Because what this is doing, all of this, everything that we're talking about, devaluing the money, mass immigration, liberalizing all sorts of different laws, net zero, all of this is just impoverishing you and making the social conditions that you have to live in on a day-to-day basis worse. Even in your interpersonal interactions, all of a sudden, people are being given carte blanche to behave in such ways that means that you're having to walk on eggshells 24/7 because you're afraid that you might say something out of the, what was normal and ordinary 10, 20 years ago, which is now considered illegal. But and you might get sent to prison.
You don't even
get a
fine now, just thinking it is considered illegal.
Yes, what else have we got here? We've got liberalized abortion laws from the Labour manifesto. What do the Tories do during lockdowns? Well, of course, if they're locked down, if they're not allowed to go outside, they can't get their abortion. So we best give them access to abortion pills through the post. And I looked into this as well because I'd heard something about this. They might be looking to make it even more liberalized because the current health secretary for the country under the Tories, Victoria Atkinson, has basically said that she's in favor of liberalizing abortion laws up to the point of birth.
Jesus.
Which marks her out as a fundamentally evil woman. Because
I mean, why not 2 or 5 or 10 years after birth? I mean,
yeah, because one of the arguments that is always bandied about is that, well, it's not fair that the woman has to be the main thing that this baby is reliant on. It's basically a parasite, even up to the point of a... I hate to break this to you, but babies are still very dependent on both parents and will basically die without your intervention for quite a few years after birth as well. So if you're going to make the parasite argument, not that I think there's any argument for abortion anyway, if you're going to make that argument, then you are right. Why not liberalizing even
further? Because it is logically consistent with their views.
Yeah, but there's a tabled discussion for that, a debate in Parliament in March, later on in March or May, I believe, and they're looking to remove criminal amendments that make it illegal to go past the 24-week, which is the current limit that we have on it right now. Still barbaric, as far as I'm concerned, but they want to remove that. So who knows how far it'll go? Let's carry on. So that's what the Conservatives are planning on doing right now. So look forward to that. More open borders. Oh, no, don't. What if we vote in Labour, we might have 800,000 people a year, says the Home Secretary.
We had 1.4 million last year, so...
Well, that was net, so at least we can say...
I don't care about net. What I care about is the people who actually arrived, and it was 1.4 million last year.
Yes, and I think what was the most recent figures for it? It was something the same. They were using the net figures again. I think it was another 1.4 million visas got issued over the past year.
They use net because it knocks a couple of 100,000 off.
Yeah, I think the net for, what was it, June of 2022 was something like 745,000. And now they're celebrating because up to June 2023 was only about 670,000, lads. Finally, we're taking back control of our borders, are we?
Yeah.
Are we?
Because more people are leaving.
Yeah, and once again, you can go on forever and ever and ever with this. And it does go on forever and ever and ever. Labour is the party of LGBTQ inclusivity. Well, guess what? So was Theresa May. I think one of the things to highlight as well is that David Cameron was awful. David Cameron was the one who ushered in the situation that allowed for all of this, all of the conditions within the Conservative Party that allowed for them to become the party of constant betrayal, the wokest party that we've ever had in the history of this country. But it seems that Theresa May also was one of the worst prime ministers that we've ever had for putting all of this stuff in.
So we were talking about this. I won't mention the name, but we were talking about a character over lunch, and it was this character who I just assumed was a raving left winger because I'd seen him on something. And then it was one of you guys who told me, no, he's actually just been signed up as on the Tory candidate list. You know, that has been happening ever since David Cameron. The new entrants into the party are just rabid left-wingers now.
Oh, really? Well, I don't know exactly who you're talking about there because I was not privy to that conversation, but I can just assume that literally every new member of the Conservative Party is somebody who would have been part of the Fabian Society 120 years ago. Labour were the ones to put HS2 into place, which everybody should know by now. And of course, HS2 has been pushed forward by the Conservatives, who have made an absolute hash of it every single step of the way. We can't even do a basic improvement of infrastructure of our railways anymore. If you put billions of pounds into an improvement to high-speed railways, a new high-speed railway project in the country to connect the two major cities of this country, Manchester and London, and shave off, what was it going to be, about 5 minutes on the commute overall? So it wasn't even really worthwhile.
And I don't think
they will instead decide that they're going to cut off the northern leg of that because we're spending too much money. The whole thing has been a complete disaster. Oh, and also some of the money that was going towards it was for some reason being given to Bengali old people's charities.
Oh yes, why not? And you're from the north, so you'll probably know this, but my understanding is people in the north aren't desperate to get to London. They just want to be able to move around the north a bit more.
Yeah, there's a lot to do with that. The railway links up north can be a bit hit and miss depending on where you're going.
But the assumption is that everybody in the country just wants to go straight to London all the time. We don't.
Well, shockingly enough, people who live their entire lives in London probably would assume that, wouldn't they? And once again, it goes on and on and on. And there's more examples that we could bring from right now as well. But really, is there anything more left to be said? I think there's more than enough evidence of the most radically left-wing party in the history of this country.
There is something about a foreign prime minister smiling over a coin that says diversity built Britain.
Which is just a lie.
Yeah, it's just... Okay,
don't you understand? 50,000 Huguenots over the course of 10 years equals you have to accept infinite migrants from the third world.
Here's a challenge. Can you ever remember this prime minister saying anything nice about the native population?
That's a good question, actually.
Comment below if you can think of such a time.
Because any time he praises Britain, it's always with this framing, which is that we're good because we're diverse.
Yes.
Conservatives are the party which gave us all this. Once again, for those not watching, this is gay police force, kneeling police force, BLM protests, naked men out in public with children around, men wearing fetish dog leather costumes with children around. This is Theresa May's doing. Well, and David Cameron's, but Theresa May was actively signed up with all of the LGBT inclusive stuff. And of course, Boris Johnson's wife, who was part of what was it, LGBT Conservatives. So thank you for this. I don't think there's much more I can add to it other than, yeah, the Conservatives are the worst and they need to be destroyed as a party.
Absolutely, they do. Well, that was two rather depressing segments. Make us laugh, Callum. What have you got?
Good bloody luck.
India! Rape.
Note to editors, cut into his segment after that bit.
Just the outro. If you appreciated that segment, then it just plays out. Then it's you.
If you appreciate that segment, what? Rape? No, don't. God, that's not advice, legal or otherwise.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Smile time. Right, so let's talk about the barbarian world. And you might think I'm being a bit rude, but then again, I have travelled a fair bit. And then the thing I found is the more people you meet who have travelled more, the more agreeing they all are on the fact that a lot of the world is barbarian still. And, okay, you can go and see the nice touristy areas of pretty much every country on Earth. I'm trying to think of one you can't. South Sudan? Yeah? I think that's...
You can't go to the nice touristy areas in Paris anymore.
That's true. Sure.
What about the nice touristy areas of Pyongyang?
No, they're great. So,
oh, all right.
They would probably be safe streets, to be fair, wouldn't they?
Actually, yeah.
But then there's the rest of the country, and it's really hit or miss depending on the country, obviously. And India is
number one
in some things. It has blown up in the news because of this. This is a tweet from someone who tweeted this out, and they say here, a travel couple trying to visit every country in the world decided to go to India as their latest destination. 11 hours in, they announced that they were at a hospital because he had been beaten up and she had been gang raped by 7 men. And this is a video of this Spanish couple explaining in Spanish. As you can see here, my mouth is destroyed, but Fernando is even worse than me. They've hit me with a helmet several times with a strong stone on the head. Thank goodness she was wearing the jacket that stops blows a little, which doesn't seem that relevant because she ended up getting raped by 7 men, but there we are. She didn't get beaten up that bad. but the imagery is like, just look at her face. Like, you can see the bruises.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrific. And as I mentioned, like, man, this blew up. 120 million views on that one single tweet. And this is just one person tweeting about it. Never mind all the articles.
Yeah.
Sharing. I think blah, 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 blah.
India is a bit of a meme. Globally, most of what you tend to hear about India is that, oh, the people there, they don't know how to use the toilet. There's feces on every street. But there's much worse problems than this. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people who try and travel the world don't realize. This is what leads to the left-wing women. I'm going to travel by myself and backpack around Pakistan to show you how safe it is.
I have
most people don't understand that most of the world is a very dangerous place.
I have spent some time in India, and how to put it, they basically just have no normal civilizational standards.
So let's have you explain, if you're okay with it,
yes,
how you travel, because how you travel I think is interesting as well.
Well, I tend to basically go to one major city and then travel to another major city somewhere else across the country and leave from there and then go to another place, and I'll just hop from, just do a tour run through the country.
Public transport, walking,
buses, trains, all that sort of stuff. But
you did this in India?
Yeah, but you learn to stay frosty. Well, actually, in India, it was slightly different. In India, I was helping a finance company there. I was doing a bit of consultancy work. So I didn't stay for that long. And I was with a whole bunch of high-caste Indians. So that made the trip a bit easier because, you know, they knew how it worked around there. I mean, to the point of, because they were high-caste Indians, if they didn't like what the police were doing, they'd just give them a kicking.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
So I mean, I was all right when I was there.
This post here, okay, that's one thing. And, well, let's have a look at how it happened, of course, because India is a massive country, if nothing else. Like, I hate to use the word, but it's sincerely diverse. Like, the areas are so different, it's just amazing. And I haven't even been there. You can just read about it online. But these guys, this is how this happened. So they're travel bloggers, and they were going on their motorcycles from Barcelona all the way to somewhere in Southeast Asia. And when they got to this particular part of India, it didn't go so well. The couple had been making their way to Nepal via Bangalore and had stopped in Dumka to rest and pitch their tent near Hashada Market. I'm not apologizing. After falling asleep, seven young men broke into the tent and assaulted them both. They beat us. They pulled out a knife by my neck. They told me they were going to kill me, says the man in one of the videos. And he then says, Fernanda was raped by seven of them. So there we are. That's how that happened. But what's really, really weird, I mean, we have in this, in I think probably the American mind more than most, because you mentioned the poo and the loo meme. For those who don't know, the United Nations had to make a song to try and convince Indians to use toilets rather than just have them. And this is for ones who had them, never mind the ones who don't have them. And the song was called Poo in the Loo. And that has become a meme. But even amongst, I find, people who are interested in the foreign world and traveling and learning about stuff, most people, I found, don't even know about that when they think about India. Well, they still think of it as like this highly spiritual place curry comes from, and that's about it.
I think it's media representation that really gives people that idea, because when you think of India, you think of things like Princess Diana looking a bit mopey in front of the Taj Mahal. You think of Michael Palin travel documentaries where he's going around going like, look at how glorious and magical these places are. You think of Carl Pilkington having a bit of a moan about these places. You also think of, like, I watched Paul Thomas Anderson film called Darjeeling Limited, where a bunch of brothers go on a trip around India on the train so that they can connect with their spirituality. You just think of it as this place that's a bit sunny, maybe a bit dirty, maybe it's going to be a bit foreign, but overall, it's going to be
basically the same.
A silly spiritual place where everybody just gets along and has a nice old time. That's not...
I will say, as somebody who travels a lot, you really need to develop a sixth sense for where you are. And I will pick up on all sorts of things. If I'm walking through an area and I notice that the locals are looking at me, not with there's a white guy look, but a look of concern, I know that something's up, because they think that I shouldn't be in that area, and they probably think it for a bloody good reason. So I need to stay frosty or get out. And you do need to be alive to this stuff when you travel through countries like these.
A specific area as well that seems to be particularly barbarous, because of course then there's the difference of being a man versus being a woman in the situation.
Yeah, but the worst is going to happen to me is I get robbed. Whenever I travel, I take a second phone and a second wallet.
Yeah, I'll have that.
And I put them above my phone and wallet so that I can always pull out a phone and wallet if I need to.
But moving on, the man in this case, the man there and his wife, well, the man decided to put out a second video where he says Do not think that India is like that, because it is not true. India is a country with many good people. I'm sure it is.
But it obviously is like that, because it just happened to you.
Like all countries, it's got good and bad things.
I mean, your wife is literally in the back of this video with visible bruises on her face. Why?
This poster responds, I'm so sorry, but trying to do the kumbaya, it's a beautiful country, please don't judge. While your wife is laying there with bruises on her face because she was gang raped by seven men, it's so, pathologically insane.
So I've always, well, not always, this has been at the back of my mind for some time. How many men need to gang rape your wife until you're no longer a liberal? And the answer is obviously a number greater than seven.
Eight or nine, at least.
There we are.
And it's pretty horrifying to think of, but the amount of brainwashing that these people must have suffered to have that happen and then go, oh, but it's still fine, though. It's still fine. We still, two thumbs up, recommend, would go again.
It can be true. I mean, two things can be true. It can be a place with lots of lovely people. I mean, there's like 2 billion of them, so duh.
Yeah, I suppose.
But also, it's not Barcelona. You know that. What's wrong with you? You're from Barcelona. You know it's not Barcelona. There's a massive cultural difference. You should know that as someone who's traveled so much. And someone responded to this, this chap here, who's a big traveler as well. And I'm just going to read some of his story and see what we make of it, I guess, because his impact on this is interesting. He says he spent 6 months backpacking through India in 2018-2019, traveling primarily by overnight buses. That's safe. As a 6-foot-tall, tattooed white man, I was monetarily taking advantage of many times and viewed alternatively as a walking ATM or photo opportunity wherever I went. But by God's providence, I was never physically assaulted nor meaningfully threatened. As a 6-foot-tall, tattooed white man, I was...
You read that part.
Sorry. I heard it twice. However, I was traveling for 3 years in preparation to visit the country. I had learned hard lessons of situational awareness and personal security. Despite that, it took all my strength to complete the journey through India. It was the conclusion of my travels for a reason.
Yeah. So as somebody who spent time in India, I will never allow my daughters to go to India. It is the whole thing about sort of being creepy and rapey. It is so true. I mean, I'll give you an example. I mean, I remember in Delhi watching, because I wasn't that far away from a bit of road, a bit of overpass bit. And what you'd get is you'd get these Indian prostitutes going along on the back of these tuk-tuks. And when I say prostitutes, I'm not talking about like Brazilian or Swedish stunners that you get in top-class London casinos or anything like that.
Those prostitutes aren't hot.
Callum would know, he's seen enough of them.
But these girls, they look like basically like the creature out the end of the final scene in Fly 2. I mean, she clearly hadn't been washed in years, and you get these tuk-tuks with these girls going along the back, and you'd have like maybe 8 or 9 cars of Indians driving around it. So it'd be going around like a little bizarre sort of convoy where they'd all be leaning out of their windows with like 4 or 5 guys in each car, waving money at her, saying, come into our car. And I used to watch these little convoys go past every now and again. It's like, what the hell are you guys doing? It is, and that is one of many examples. It is a creepy, rapey place with no civilizational standards. People will drive the wrong way around roundabouts, the wrong way down roads. People will drive blind drunk. Queuing is non-existent. The amount of times I would be in a queue leaving, and unless you basically rub yourself against the guy in front of you, somebody will come and put themselves in between. The amount of times I had to pick a little Indian up and put him behind me just to say, look, there's an Englishman in the queue. We are going to do this properly. I mean,
as English people, I mean, it is maddening. I had the same in Russia. The only place I ever saw queuing was by the Russian army when we went to the war zone.
Right.
Everywhere else they don't, and it is a real mark of civilization.
But yes. With what you're saying about India, there is a reason that if any of the audience watching right now has friends who are women, every single one of them, like I do, will have horror stories about her entire DM box being filled with Indians. There's a reason that is a meme. Now imagine that instead of it just being over message, you're in the country where they're doing it up close to you.
So this guy's response is interesting because he goes on to talk about India himself, his own experience. He says, many times I did not see malice in the eyes of motor taxi drivers, although I heard stories of tourists being driven to remote locations and blackmailed out of their belongings by cab drivers, which is why taxi security at New Delhi Airport is such a big deal.
India. That's something that you experienced, Dan. Taxi security,
No, but I'm very wary of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you'll get that in most yeah. of all places. I mean, it's an actual miracle that you can get a black cab in the UK and it will just be a black cab.
What's the taxi security? Is that people around who make sure that if you're getting into a taxi, it's actually a taxi and not someone who's going to try and kidnap you?
It's private licensed cars versus taxis. One's licensed, one isn't. So there's that difference. India is not a safe country to travel in, he says. While it's not a dangerous country, like a country at war, it is a nation unimaginable levels of corruption that would shock an average Westerner. And it is barely civilized, even among many popular locations, like Agra, where the Taj Mahal is. Especially because your skin color marks you out with being a target, and you actually can't hide that. Liberal Americans have this view that the rest of the world that's melanated is one big song of Kumbaya, crying out against the oppression of the white West. Nothing could be further from the truth. Violence, bigotry, and hatred are the standard operating practice of the residents of many countries. Members of foreign nations express racism to each other and boast about it that make our microaggressions look like a sneeze. Which is just a really poetic way of putting that, I felt.
Because it is exactly what the left thinks. The left thinks that the entire world is basically the same as America, only with very slightly different levels of melanin and spicy food.
And also kinder, safer, less racist. The only people who've ever been violent towards other ethnic groups are white people.
Yeah.
It's just like, which country is that? Like, literally, here's a globe. Pick it. Like, which melanated country is paradise?
I mean, we did have to force these people to stop burning their wives after they died.
Well, he goes on here to argue about the reason for this is Christian world versus non-Christian world. That's his perspective on this. You can read it in your own time if you wish. But I mean, unless you're talking about Singapore or, I don't know, like Dubai, like where it's highly securitized, so you've got that advantage or something. Like, yeah, there's massive differences that the Westerners just have to be wise of, if
interestingly,
nothing else.
The Taiwanese foreign minister has recently announced that they're going to be accepting Indians to replace other workers that they had, but they're only going to allow Indian workers from a very specific northeast region of India, which is all Christian.
Lamau.
Yeah, they only want them. they don't want all the rest of them because there is something different about Christians.
So he goes on here to argue about Christianity, and that's the reason his perspective. He says something I never thought about. He says, have you ever read what Gandhi has to say about women? No, I haven't. Why would I?
I have. Well, Gandhi was also very racist.
Yeah, I've read the racism before, which is pretty big. But there's MahatmaGandhi.com, in which if you go and read that, he believes in the equality of the sexes and nothing else. So I thought that might just be propaganda, so bugger that. So I went to an outlet that should be favorable to him, The Guardian. And even them are like, no, the legacy he left is not good. I mean, they tell a story here of the way rape is dealt with in the continent. Gandhi's time in South Africa. He was discovered by a male youth, and the male youth had been harassing his two female followers. Gandhi responded by personally cutting the girl's hair off to ensure that the sinner's eye was sterilized. Gandhi boasted of the incident in his writings such a message that all Indians and that women should carry responsibility for sexual attacks put upon them. Yeah, I mean, this isn't new. I mean, they go on to reference a specific incident in India where this carries on. It says, in 2009, colleges in northern India reacted to a spate of sexual harassment cases by banning women from wearing jeans, as the Western-style dress was deemed too provocative to the males on campus. 2009. I mean, Obama's in the White House. And they're like, well, clearly their genes made him do it.
Yeah, I mean, again, as somebody who spent time in India, the wall that you have to jump over before an Indian gets sexually excited is not really that high.
I mean, I think I've told this story before, but when we were in Afghanistan, and I think it was towards the end, you hadn't seen, you see women, but they're with their families. There's no reason to talk to a woman in Afghanistan unless she's a family member or you're going to marry her. That's how that works, right? So you don't interact with women. It would be culturally rude to even do so. So then it was Taliban Independence Day parade day. And some women from Al Jazeera had turned up, women reporters. And she was wearing the abaya, the long dress, the black one. But you could see a vague outline of her ass. And the guy, the driver, Mohammed, went, oh my God, look at this. And to be honest, even in my own mind, after a few weeks of not interacting with Westerners or women or media, I did look at her ass and think, oh God, yeah. Wait, what? Like, it literally is just an outline. It means nothing. Like, I had to have a break for a minute. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's that world.
And yet a Western woman thinks she's protected.
yeah, it's very, very, very different, is all I'm getting at. Not to mention, I mean, India, I mean, you rightly say, has been a long-term meme. I mean, not just them, but Pakistan as well. Forbes, why Pakistan should be on every solo female traveler's bucket list. Did human trafficking write this?
I think a rape gang wrote this article. I can only assume.
What are you meant to do with that?
Did somebody actually do that? Because
this is a real Forbes article.
There is a photograph of a woman, I assume, in Pakistan.
Yeah.
Moments before disaster.
There are just endless horrific stories out here. I mean, this post blew up, of course, and then people were mocking it with this stuff. Four men arrested for raping a lizard in India.
And monitor lizards are pretty brutal as well.
I think they also ate the lizard, if I remember correctly. Oh.
In what order?
The worst one. Pregnant goat dies after being gang raped by eight men in India. Just dog dies after being...
Oh, no, I like dogs.
Yeah. Cow. Really?
But I thought they thought the holy animal sacred. Yeah.
But the
I mean, because I've seen a lot of videos of gangs and like gangs of Indian men throwing feces at one another as part of some holy cow ritual because it's cow dung and like, oh, this is some high quality stuff right here.
This is the Indian version of the rape of the Vestal Virgins in Roman times, isn't it? I mean, it's you're kind of going after your own holy figures.
Unless it may have been some Muslim guys doing it. I don't know. But the point being, I'm not trying to show this just to be like, my God, everyone in India raped animals or something. If someone's watching that and thinks I'm saying that. No. It's that these stories don't really appear in the West. Ever.
Yeah.
Like, very, very rarely there'll be a guy who was doing something with a pig.
Oh, yeah.
And the punishment is death.
I'm on
the law's being applied properly.
I'm on good terms with a whole bunch of high-caste Indian guys. You know, great, great chaps. But you have to
Dan
understand.
Owns a few Indians.
Yeah, you have to understand that there are lots and lots of very creepy, rapey ones.
It's just a real different world. I mean, one of the things I found just researching this is I found the Wikipedia article for rape culture, which
South Africa is not looking good.
If for some reason the two countries most are
95.
Sweden and South Africa are equal.
What might they have in common?
Who knows?
Well, Sweden is higher than India.
Yes. I'm not sure these statistics.
China is completely ignored from those statistics.
This is reported statistics from the police. So
right, okay.
2010 to 2012. So Sweden's presumably a much deeper red since then.
You scroll down, and there's only four countries even mentioned in this rape culture article, of course, because most of it's centered on the West. Being like, well, don't you know about bathrooms? It's just like, shut up. And it goes down, down, down. And then prevalence. We've got the United States. Yeah, no. I mean,
what? No, there was. A culture of... No, that's just bollocks.
Arcs are backwards. South Africa?
Yeah, I can believe that.
I don't know. Gang rapes are quite common amongst men. One in five men has participated in a gang rape. Not true for the United States or here, if nothing else.
Well, certain parts of here.
Yeah. And then you go down and you
get... Diversity-built Britain.
Yeah, and then you get India and Pakistan. They're the only two other countries mentioned in this article. And they're literally just writing about how, yeah, it's the woman's fault for being raped. It's like, okay, right. And I just wanted to compare this because, I mean, travel advice. Someone who takes this, you know, an interest in it. Here's Russia. The Foreign and Commonwealth Development Office advises against all travel to Russia. They issue this map where they've highlighted literally every province and they've gone, no, advise against all travel. And then they list their reasons and you can read the reasons and it's, you know, not unreasonable to list that, well, look, I mean, they are in an active war. So there's that. If you've ever been friendly to Ukraine, do not go. They will not find that funny. They might put you in jail. And it's like, okay, that's fair advice. I think it's a bit extreme to be like, don't go at all. There's someone who's been there many times, especially after the war. It's got its problems. You know, you've still got to be wary. You've got to know what you're doing, et cetera, et cetera. But then I go and check out India's travel advice. And it's just like, oh, some parts. Which are the parts? And it says Jammu and Kashmir. Really? That's the only advice you have? Are you sure?
Maybe that's true if you're a 6'2" white guy.
Yeah.
If you're a woman, I wouldn't go to any bit of it.
Well, you go to safety and security and you scroll down and there is a section on crime, scams, you know, that's the thing, and then sexual assault. It's like, yeah, there's serious levels of sexual attacks in all of these places, Goa, Delhi, Rajasthan, Mumbai, Kerala. And I'm like, well, that's probably not just them because these people were not there in any of those. It's like, okay, that's
and
a thing.
If you're a woman and you go there, you will get groped every time you walk down the street.
Yeah, and it goes on, you know, e-cigarettes, whatever. There's a very weird bit in this. I can't remember where it is, but they write that if you engage in sex with a child, you'll be killed. Like, that's a risk. And it's like, what? Doesn't seem like a risk to me. Seems like good law. Let me find
that. For all Western paedophiles, be aware.
Sincerely, let me find you this, because it's the weirdest bloody thing. I read it earlier.
Wait, is it under LGBT?
No, it's not under that.
Oh, okay.
It's somewhere in here. John, I wonder if you can do Control F for me and just type in sex, and it will come up, because it's like child sexual crimes or something. So if you do Control F and type in the word sex, and then, so yeah, sex assault. So female travelers, saw that. Blah, blah, blah. LGBT travelers, yeah, that bit.
Child sex.
Sexual offences against children. This is a warning from the Foreign Office. The penalties for child sex are severe. There is a minimum jail term of 20 years, which may go up to life imprisonment or death for those convicted of raping a child under the age of 12. Why is that travel advice? What is that? I'm sorry, I've never seen that before.
And the Foreign Office felt this was an important thing that paedophiles should know.
Yeah, British paedophiles, if you're going to India, make sure that you're not caught because you could go... What?
All of Britain's proud nonces.
I mean, India has better laws.
Oh, actually, hang on. Now I think about it.
Oh,
actually,
no.
There are quite a lot of new Britons who might want to go back for a wedding or something.
Okay.
So,
yeah, the Pakistani section.
Yes.
But yeah, that's a thing, which
yes.
I don't really know what to make of, but there it is. And if you go down, I mean, there's a cricket section, because of course there is, for India. I think there's another warning on here about sexual assault. Yeah, scams. Local laws, alcohol.
Sexual assault, yeah, there it was.
If you go and visit cricket, you might be sexually assaulted.
You might get raped. All right.
That seems a bit more serious than most other warnings. There's a health section.
Well, at least it makes cricket interesting, I suppose.
Yeah. I'll end this off with just, you know, some more video evidence. So this is Bolden Bancroft in Pakistan. And this isn't at the right timestamp for me, which is a...
He's not looking very...
2258.
I may have buggered it up. I meant to have it somewhere else. That's my fault, probably. But you can see here, he's in...
Can't read the date, can't read the time, can't read numbers.
So? So this is a slum in Pakistan. And this is eerily similar to Afghanistan. Like, it's exactly the same. The noise, the smell, the people. I mean, I can still smell this image, which is weird. But that's what traveling will leave you.
That looks horrible.
And that's one place. And then there's this other section where Bald goes, which is kind of funny. Which is he then goes to a train station at some point here. They're on the train, and they're seeing the local surroundings and whatnot. I mean, I don't have to tell you just looking at that. It's a different world. That's the whole point in this section, is just to say it's a very different world,
yeah.
To say the least. The idea that it's just kumbaya because spiritualism, it's not. It's just not. And the funny thing about this, though, is you can see him walking around. Look at that. Jacobabad is the name of this place because it's named after an English explorer named Jacob. And as you can see here, the train station is still in exactly the same state that we left it. Office of the Yard Supervisor. Because the guy who was instructed to do it just didn't...
Well, wrote it in English.
Yeah. Well, if you ever look at old spellings of English in the 1800s, it's not consistent. Modern consistent spelling is quite new, weirdly enough. You'd expect that after the printing press, but it doesn't really come about until like the late 1800s, 1900s. And even then, that's how they wrote the word supervisor.
Just did it phonetically, yeah.
And then he's looking around, and the whole place is exactly as we left it. The whole scene is the same as it would have been in 1910 in this place.
Wait, what's this video as well? India sucks, don't ever come here. Small-brained American. 3.9 million views.
That wasn't a plan by me. That's
just where the
YouTube
algorithm is taking you.
But there we are.
Ah, you hate Pakistan? You'll hate India too.
But Bolt's actually showing off Pakistan as...
Wait, isn't it... Yeah. Is it the Google CEO, the YouTube CEO, was Susan Wojcicki probably replaced by an Indian?
Yeah, the CEO of YouTube now is Indian, so
yeah.
There we are.
I'll tell you the weirdest thing about India is whenever somebody found out I was English, almost all of them immediately said to me, I wish you guys would come back and be in charge again, because the corruption is that bad.
I can understand.
But what was the point in all this? I just want to show you off a horrible story. Which has blown up, and just remind everyone, yeah, it's really, really different. Really take this stuff seriously. Because if you don't, it's not you get robbed of your fake phone. Really bad things happen. So there we are. Let's go to the video comments.
Fun.
I think the American view of conservatism versus liberalism fails to understand each side. In the English model, conservatives create the clubs, cliques, and groups codifying the way we live. Liberals break up these entities and create law, subsuming their function into the state. The American model fails to understand how each side must temper the other to prevent corruption and overreach. Instead, discourse reduces to who has power over the other, revealing the true paradigm, absolutism versus constitutionalism. Anglosphere constitutionalism is struggling against the latest absolutist attacks.
That's certainly what I would have said a few years ago, but I'm not sure I agree anymore. I think we just need to get our friends in power because basically well, it doesn't work otherwise.
The fact is, as far as I see it, that some kind of kingly power, the more absolutist power, is the kind of naked truth of power. But it's only if you have the right people in that power that you end up with some kind of genuine respect for rule of law and constitutionalism in the first place. The liberty is a condition that is brought about by a powerful ruler.
So the next one.
You had a psyche day and you returned home tired. Why not try San Bian Zhou, also known as the Chinese traditional medicine of three pins wine? So while everyone else is sucking it, you are at least drinking it.
Did that have an SS logo on it?
Oh, the Chinese...
Yeah. That have an SS logo on
it? I didn't see that. John, I wonder if...
John, reverse back so that we can see that image for a moment of the drink.
If you would like to drink three penis wine...
Yeah. Go back a little bit more.
Back of the drink.
There we go. That blue bit in the top right of the label.
No. That's Slava close. Ukraine.
Oh, right. Okay. Interesting. If you'd like to drink three Nazi penis...
Call now while stocks last. Email contact@lotuseaters.com.
Because I'd like to make
you new on the merch store.
Oh, God. Let's go to the next one.
Regarding the segment on Biden's health, honestly, I don't think he deserves a sympathy. It's a rather fitting end, really, when he spent his entire life pursuing power and now ends his life as a vassal of it. To me, the real story is that his condition very publicly proves that the highest elected office in all of history isn't real. Now, do we actually know who's in charge? Not really. We have the same problem here in Canada, though we discovered it through other means.
Like Prime Minister Trudeau, selfie penetrates the cabinets.
Now, the only question left to ask is this what we voted for?
Great points. I thought about this for a while because I was on the train of, we must feel sorry for Biden in a way because look at the state of him. He's being puppeted. But then even if you look at his entire political career, it's nothing but being a liar. So, yeah, screw the guy.
Well, yeah.
But genuinely on a human level, he's a bad human being.
As far as I see it, this is karmic retribution.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go to the next one.
I wanted to clarify from last Friday that I don't have a channel called California Refugee. That doesn't exist. I was just floating the idea of making a cultural and political commentary channel. I'm getting more and more warm to the idea, so let me know what you think, I guess. And then I would also like to add that, yeah, my entertainment channel, totally different name. You'll probably never find it. And yeah, so California News, we're giving away money to illegal immigrants to buy homes because, yeah, why not?
Can I have one? Please? I'll break in.
Callum is a refugee from the old potato famine.
Oh, let's go to the written comments, shall we? Matt P. asked the questions that we've all been asking, which is Harry's starving barber has finally been fed.
Yeah, he was very grateful. I came through, I had to dust off the cobwebs. He ran up to me and said, oh, Harry, I haven't missed you so much.
Did he eat your hair?
Yeah, like spaghetti.
All right.
Like, you know those videos of Will Smith? Based on him.
There you go. A big salute to the Shadow Band. Is that Rumble that we get there,
yes.
Bruce? So he gives us $25 and says, what is wrong with Harry's head?
Old one fell off.
Right.
Couldn't find it. Had to put this one on. I'm like Lego. I've got interchangeable head and hair like that.
Threadnought for $20. Thank you very much, sir. Says, I want to see members of the Lotus Eaters do some gaming. Who isn't Carl? I have reserves. Benjamin. You boys remind me of Sarg about his tactical genius. It will be funny, I promise. Yes, we got a Lotus Eaters Helldiver squad.
I think we need to get an old PlayStation 2 in. Hook that up. Get a sofa in here and we all play Time Splitters 2 split screen. Like the good old days. Did you never play that?
Time Split. I played Time Crisis. What's Time Splitters?
Time
Splitters.
Oh, I love Time Crisis.
Yeah, Time Crisis. That would be fun, actually, if we just got a full arcade machine in here with the air guns. That would be great. No, Time Splitters is an old PlayStation 2. I think it might have been on OG Xbox as well. It's a really fun first-person shooter where you play as like a cowboy, a monkey, other things. And it's very fun. It had lots of good fun split-screen shooting one another back in the day. How did you never play Time Splitters?
Anyway, we're getting off topic of your hair. Trumpeter Mike says, for $17, thank you very much, sir.
This is the only thing people want to talk about today.
Someone has got new ears. Looking good, Harry. Have a great week. Trinidad, California, USA, Trump 2024. Then going into my section, we've got Sean487 for $10. Thank you very much, sir. Says, yes, around the Western world, birth rates are collapsing. Two things stand out as they did not import millions. Oh, this is in reference to your bit.
To the mid-century,
Two things stand out. They did not import millions and destroy the society and the culture where a decade later with incentives a decade later with incentives, native birth rates rose.
Yeah, I think under a particular regime, I believe it was that women literally got medals for having a certain amount of children. Because, to be fair, I think that's not a bad idea, because having children for the women, especially raising them, is a hell of a lot of hard work, and we should be rewarding them in the same way that we reward men for service to the nation.
I quite like Hungary's thing, where you get bigger and bigger tax break, more children you have.
Oh, that's great, but also just like medals on the wall as well. Is a great incentive, I'd say.
Let me see. Matt says, the far right in that speech is just people who object to Islamic extremism beyond the use of pre-approved state rhetoric. Yeah, exactly right. If you say it the way Douglas Murray says it, you're allowed to say it. Otherwise, you are not allowed to say it. Miss AZ Desert Rat says, does the far right wing nuts even have any power in the UK? No. I mean, where are they? I mean, they're just... I mean, presumably there's some somewhere.
I think the closest that we have would be probably Patriotic Alternative as a party, but they're proscribed.
They're not. If you're proscribed, it means you're on the terrorist list. And I think Patriotic Alternative, they're not proscribed as a organization. You're right that they don't have a party. They've been banned from that.
Yeah.
But they're not a terrorist group. The only right-wing terrorist group I can think of is, I think, Combat 18 National Action made the list, but one of them is now literally non-existent, so they're not even relevant. The other one of them, I forget which one it is, the reason they're on the list is because when Joe Cox was murdered by a man who came out, I think there's still some debate about what he shouted, whether it was Britain first or Britain's first or some shit, shot her in the head, and then they tweeted 400 and 649 to go. That tweet they were put on the terrorist list, but they hadn't engaged in any terrorism or were planning to engage in any terrorism. They just celebrated a political murder.
Right.
Which, that's the extent of far-right terrorism in this country, according to the government, is a tweet.
A tweet, okay. Well, and that guy who murdered that MP, I mean, he was a lifelong Labour member as well, and he's now held up as the example of right-wing terrorism.
It just wasn't one.
Yeah.
So...
yeah. Matt P makes a point I want to pick up before we move on to your section, which is Galloway has the majority of 40% of the people, 60% didn't even bother to turn up. Yeah, so that is going to be a major issue for the regime coming up, is that when you look at these by-elections, the Labour share of the vote isn't increasing, it's the Tories are staying home. And when 60, 70% of the people don't even bother to show up for elections, that is a problem for the regime. They're going to have a legitimacy regime, a legitimacy crisis at that point. Let's do some from yours. Yours, Harry.
Biggie Bigfoot says, look like Harry is no longer a leftist. That's right. Flip the other way. Horseshoe theory proved correct as yet again. Zombie Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, throwing racist slurs from beyond the grave. Excellent title. Stupid question. Couldn't you burn some of the GBP money to at least increase the scarcity? I doubt it, because when we talk about printing money, that's more of a stock phrase, because what it's actually doing is just showing up on banking spreadsheets.
Well, that's why
it's not actually been physically.
Yeah, that's
printed.
Why we show M2 on the money printing charts, not M0, because M0 is the cash, and that's really tiny.
Yeah, although to be fair, I think the M1 money supply, is that the total or is that the in circulation?
Oh, I forget. We just always use M2.
Yeah. Nick Taylor, I was watching Jimmy Dore today talking about how George was great as Gaza is super important. The British have been on the wrong side of history and everything seems as red pills only reveal problems that he can see. Yeah, that's the problem with a lot of the, shall we say, more based far leftists like Jimmy Dore, which is that he is still an insane leftist at the end of the day. Let's go on to your segment, Callum.
Angel Brain says, I remember a guy that worked in Nigeria in the 1990s, getting in a taxi through Lagos. This guy had brought himself a Rolex. When they got stuck in traffic, his hand and arm were outside the window. A guy came up with a machete, grabbed his wrist, and wallop. He never got the watch back or the limb that was on it.
Bloody hell.
Yep. Yep. Omar Awad says, man, Paris syndrome ain't got nothing on India syndrome.
Yeah, good point.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, that's rough. Matt P says, imagine sleeping in a tent in Bengal. If it wasn't the seven men, it would have been the tigers. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a stupid thing to do, but still. Stupid decisions should, yes, be, yeah, get stupid prizes, but also that's horrible.
Don't make the stupid decisions. Insure yourself against them as much as you can if you're going to do something dangerous. There's a reason if you, I don't know, go BMXing or something, you wear a helmet. So yeah. Why, if you're going to India, would be like, oh, just tent in the middle of this rural province with my wife.
That's not smart.
And it's something that people do at music festivals where they'll worry, because music festivals, everybody's got a load of their possessions in tents, and people worry like, oh, if I bring my belongings with me, they might get robbed. And they think, aha, I will put a padlock on my tent. Forgetting that
it's a tent.
Knife. Oh no, I can't get this. Oh well, new door on the side and all of your possessions are gone anyway.
Yes.
That is a real big brain like retardation. Like you've not interacted with the world and you think a padlock on a tent makes any sense.
I've seen it happen to people. they've come back, oh, that was such a great, why is half of my tent cut open?
It's like having a knee-high wall protecting your house also, and no front door and like locking the wall or something.
He's just advertising you got something in there that is worth going
yeah.
after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're out of time. If you'd like more, website. Bye.